And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Football and Grits. The season is winding down, but Andy, we are only winding up. I'm your host, David Ubbin, here with my co-host, as always, Andy Staples. Already an eventful weekend after the game. Dan Mullen is out as Florida coach.
David, Andy, you mean the season is winding down, but the carousel's heating up?
I think that's probably about right. We could be headed for a very epic carousel season. USC, LSU, Florida, already on the board. To say nothing of TCU and Virginia Tech, which are both good jobs as well. Texas Tech already filled, of course, Joey McGuire. But a very, very interesting entrance into this. Not really unpredictable. It's been trending this way for a while. Andy, I'm torn with this one, with Dan Mullen, okay? And here's why. I get it. I really do. I get it. I get that this makes sense in a lot of ways. The consternation. This season was also unacceptable. But here's where I'm kind of you have Dan Mullen, 21 games in his first 2 years, top 10 finishes both years. He beats Georgia, wins the East in year three. Year four, obviously a disastrous, situation all around, and you're out. I did not get to ask Scott Strickland a question during the press conference, but one thing I was going to ask is if recruiting is different, is this decision different? Because it feels to me like
Of course it's different.
Well, but is that the whole picture? Because is that the one thing that would have saved him? Because,
of course it is. Do I need to bring in Ari Wasserman for this, David? Do we need the Stars Matter speech?
Here's where I haven't been good enough, and I know it hadn't been great, but the schools hurt themselves with this kind of attitude more than they help themselves. Not about recruiting, but that one bad year and you're out. And maybe Florida knocks us out of the park, Andy.
Let me ask you this, David. Given the way Florida's recruiting, there's that R word again.
Yes.
How many times would you reasonably expect Florida to beat Georgia in the next 5 years?
Well, things happen, Andy. I don't know. I mean, if you told me they beat Florida twice.
Give me a number. Were they going to beat them three times?
If you're going to talk about pure recruiting, 0-1. In reality,
okay, then it's unacceptable.
1-3. Okay,
also unacceptable.
I'm not saying that it's acceptable. I'm just saying, is punt the whole thing the only option here? Rather than let's make it clear. Hey, these results have to be better in the recruiting trail. Get some younger assistants. Get some folks on the staff. That's my only point.
But you got a head coach that the best recruits don't want to play for, clearly, because they don't sign with him. Is he suddenly going to become a head coach that the best recruits want to play for?
Well, but he's been this guy, Andy. They made the hire. You wanted to see what he would do with Florida. He hasn't recruited as well as you can. But my thing is, I'm just saying, I think it's far more likely that this hire puts Florida right back in the same position in another 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly
what they said when Alabama fired Mike DuBose. And when Franchione left, and when they had to fire Mike Price, Shula. And then they got it right.
Yes.
You just keep going until you get it right. They have oodles of
money.
They pay the buyout. So you just keep doing it over and over until
Every time you miss, it gets harder. And Florida has some natural advantages that make it easier. I'm not saying they shouldn't have done this, Andy. I'm just saying this is a lot riskier than I think people want to believe it is. Because
was it risky when Georgia fired Mark Richt?
A little bit.
He was 10-3 that year, by the way.
Yeah, a little bit. I think a little bit.
Or I
but
guess
that, but that was a long sample size. 9-3. That was a long sample size. And also, I think, you know, you'd seen, hey, he's not going to get us over the mountaintop. And again, you know, the grass is always greener, Andy. Maybe you get a guy who then is recruiting top five, top 10 classes, and they're losing to South Carolina.
David, I'm going to warn. I think the grass is quite a bit greener than 2-6 in the SEC. Pretty much everywhere. No,
okay, here's the thing. I'm not saying that this is acceptable or that this is fine or that they should just be like, well, one bad year in a row or every now and then is
well,
fine.
That's
I'm
what
really
you're
not saying
you're
that.
That's exactly what you're saying. You're saying this was terrible, but they shouldn't have fired him. No. It's either terrible and they should have fired him, or you think it's acceptable.
No, it's not. My point is after what he did the first 3 years, which were as good or maybe better than expectations, two top 10 finishes, an East title, you beat Georgia.
Correct.
And then one bad year, and that doesn't really seem to matter. And I'm saying that recruiting, I understand
but
that
doesn't,
recruiting
doesn't
is kind of
trajectory
the
matter too? Does
my question is, do you get a chance to fix it and say and prove that this is an aberration? And I understand
he had a chance to fix it. Fix it by beating South Carolina. Fix it by not giving up 52 to Samford. By beating Missouri.
I guess, Andy. Again, I'm not even saying I disagree with the decision. I'm just saying I don't know that this is like a slam dunk. You have to make this call. I understand this year is bad, and I don't blame people that want to make a change.
It's not a slam dunk. There's no obvious replacement.
The biggest push to do it is recruiting, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. But the biggest reason to say, you know, maybe let's hold off and give him one more chance is that, Andy, what percent chance do you think that Florida hires a worse coach than Dan Mullen in the next 2 months?
You mean is Florida going to be back in this position where they're one of the worst teams in the SEC in 4 years?
No, they hire someone that gets 4 years at Florida and has worse results than Dan Mullen. What percent chance do you think that is?
50%.
50? Okay. So you're comfortable with saying that I want to flip the coin, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And okay. I'll tell you why.
Please do.
Because apathy is a lot more expensive than pissed off. And right now they got pissed off. Pissed off's a good thing. Apathetic's a bad thing. They were headed toward apathetic because a bad recruiting class, which is what's happening, not much to look forward to, especially if the quarterback who has the higher ceiling winds up leaving because the coach doesn't seem to like him very much. What are Florida fans supposed to be excited about if you bring him back?
I don't, you know. We'll see.
Maybe not that much. Well, there's no we'll see. What are they supposed to be excited about if you bring him back? Give me an answer.
You can't really be excited about it, but if you start winning some games next year, which Dan Mullen might be
With what?
By being a good coach, Andy. He's proven that he's a good football coach. Like, I do think he's going to go somewhere else and have some success. And maybe
they
he's
got
not...
smoked by South Carolina. They gave up 52
Andy,
to
listen,
Samford.
I don't disagree with this. My only point is that one terrible year outweighing three really good years just seems just kind of maybe
but
is a little bit.
Here's
rash.
The other thing.
That's my only.
That's
point.
That's always around the corner.
Yeah.
If a team will quit on you like this, another team will quit on you like this. That's around the corner. So now, if Dan Mullen had a top five recruiting class coming in, he would not have been fired on Sunday.
I totally agree.
He would
agree.
Still have a job.
Yeah.
There would be something to look forward to. And that's the problem. When multiply the cost of a season ticket, and we're not even going to talk about the donation required to buy a season ticket, but multiply that by 10,000 or 20,000. All of a sudden, it gets really expensive to have a coach that the fan base does not like.
I agree with you, Andy. My every school that has high expectations, every time they decide one really bad year is enough to fire a guy who has had 2 to 3 to 4, depending on the guy, really good years. More often than not, that does not work out for them. And I understand that this is a business, I would rather win consistently than constantly be chasing this thing and digging a hole deeper. That's my point.
David, you went to Missouri. So you don't understand.
I don't care about
that. You don't understand the mindset.
I do understand the mindset. I really do. I really do. I promise you.
The mindset, and it's funny, everybody laughs. Like Ricky Bobby had it right. If you ain't first, you're last. These schools, LSU, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Tennessee to a point. I don't know if they're still there, but they feel like if you didn't win the SEC championship, if you didn't win the national championship, you failed. Is that rational? No. Is that correct? Probably not. Is that how they feel? Yep. Is that what keeps them going? Is that what keeps people spending money on it? Yes, it is. So you can try to tell the customers what they should want all you want. And trust me, they love it when people in our field go, you should like this and you should just take it.
I'm not suggesting that they should, Andy. My only point is this, and we'll move on to more of the Florida discussion later, is that if you have a stock that you have purchased, right, and it's going up and it's going up and it's going up and you're doing great, and then it dips substantially, but you've seen some traction, and this has had a long, steady growth. It's done a good job for a long time, and you immediately sell and you decide to go invest in something else. I'm just saying that
David, is the company Enron, and did the FBI raid the offices? Because that's what happened here. So yeah, you dump that stock. So
all right. I mean, I think this just comes down to a philosophical question of is anything less every single season than win the SEC, win the East? Or else we got to fire this coach. We got to do all this. We got to, you know.
No, it's are you doing it or are you moving in that direction? That's the key. You either need to be doing it or moving in the direction of doing it. And Dan Mullen for 3 years was moving in the direction of doing it.
Yeah.
And now he didn't do it and he was moving in exactly the opposite direction. And that's the problem.
Kirby Smart, you got to have something to sell. You do have to have
moving in the direction of doing it.
Yeah. So then if Kirby Smart, you know, if he's recruiting top eight, if he has two consecutive top eight classes and he goes 9-3 or 8-4, do you fire Kirby Smart?
Georgia will fire Kirby Smart if he does not bring them a national title, probably within the next 5 years, I'd say.
Okay. Good luck to
I don't understand. You live here. You've covered SEC teams. How is this new to you?
I'm not saying that it's new. I'm not saying that it is wrong or that it is not the case. I'm just saying, is this the wisest pursuit of the ultimate goal?
It's not your money.
Stop telling
the customers what they should want.
I'm not saying
if they want championships, let them spend their money on it.
I know. I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying you want to win a championship. I just don't believe that jumping on the carousel every 3 to 4 years and jettisoning a guy the first time you see something that you don't like, I don't think that that is the best way to pursue the ultimate goal. I understand all of the financial and all of those things and the things you have to sell and all that. I really do. But I'm just saying
– LSU fired Les Miles in 2016. They won a national championship 3 years later. Was that a good decision?
Well, that depends. I mean, if you could foresee them hiring,
that was a good decision. There's no. Well, it was a good decision. You fired him because he wasn't winning the national title. You made a change, but you won the national title.
There's a lot more people that go the opposite way than there are LSU and Alabama's. There might be a program, perhaps. Like a Tennessee or like Auburn's a bad example because they had some patience.
Auburn didn't have patience. Auburn fired a guy who won the national title 2 years earlier, but he'd gone 0-8 in the SEC, is unacceptable. And what happened when the next guy got in there? He won the SEC in the first year.
Fair enough, Andy. All right, I'm just saying in the pursuit of the ultimate goal, I have some questions. That said,
I swear I'm the only person on our staff who understands how people in SEC fan bases actually feel.
I know that's how they feel. I'm not saying they shouldn't feel that way. I swear to you, I'm not. I am not. I get it. It's fine. I'm just saying that in the ultimate goal, I'm not sure this is the most productive way. And this is not Florida. This is not Alabama, LSU. This is the sport entirely. That's why like big picture. I just don't think that this is the best approach. I think it hurts more often than it helps. That's my only point. I'm not saying they can't feel that way or they shouldn't do that. But I'm just saying you want to win championships, you're going the wrong road.
If you want to win championships, it's hard to win championships. So
it is.
It's not going to work most of the time because there are very few championships to be won. In this particular case, we're talking about the SEC title and the national title. Very few teams win those. So
yeah.
No, chances are it won't work. That's not going to change the expectation, though. Now, over and over and over again, eventually the expectations fade, like Nebraska. Like, Nebraska fans would give anything to be Wisconsin right now, mm-hmm. where they can win a division, get smoked in the conference title game. That would be a big improvement over what they've been. But Florida's not there right now. LSU's not there right now. If Auburn opened again suddenly, it wouldn't be there right now. That's just mm-hmm. not how they feel. It's not how Texas A&M feels. Does it make them wrong? It doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. It's what they want, and it's their money.
Ultimately, it comes down to this, Andy. I don't disagree, but this what you're talking about is more of a speed dating approach. What I'm talking about is, hey, let's stick this out for the long haul, and maybe we can grow old and David, gray and count our trophies together.
David, do you know how long my wife and I dated before we got engaged?
How long did you guys date?
3 months and one day.
Interesting.
Well, do you know how long we've been married?
How long, Andy?
20 and a half years. Sometimes it just works.
To be fair, Andy, I only dated my wife for like 10 months, and we've been married, I should know this off the top of my head, a little more than eight and a half years, I believe.
You're fired.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So, Andy, Scott Strickland talked today. What stood out to you about his comments? I don't know that he had a lot that made a lot of headlines, but what did you make of his explanation of sort of where Florida's at right now?
Well, so I asked him the question that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because the expectation thing is really where it comes in, because I think athletic directors probably have different expectation levels than fans. I think they're probably looking at it a little more like you are rather than the fans, who are looking at it like what the character I'm playing here today. And
most of them are smart enough that's to what say I asked them out loud.
Right. So that's what I asked him, and his answer, he it looked like he was not going to answer, that he was kind of going to duck it. And then he went in another interesting direction with it. So let's hear what he said.
Andy Staples.
Hey, Scott, what are the realistic expectations for the job at Florida? I mean, I think I know how the fans feel, but How do you feel about that? What is the realistic expectation for a coach at Florida year after year?
To achieve at a high level for a sustained period of time. You know, we talk about competing for championships and we talk about having a championship experience with integrity, but, you know, Florida is a place you have the right to aspire to that. We have incredible resources. You know, we're at a great university. We have an incredibly passionate fan base. We've invested a lot in facilities. You know, one thing that doesn't get talked a lot about, you know, we have incredible alignment among our university, you know, hierarchy, you know, from the Board of Trustees to Dr. Fox, myself, the University Athletic Association Board, Gator Boosters Board. And I, you know, you hear, you know, you guys probably see things from other schools where trustees are trying to get involved in the decision-making process and who's really calling the shots. That doesn't happen here at the University of Florida. I describe our board and our administration on campus as they're not like defensive linemen. If the AD is the quarterback trying to make decisions, you know, they're not defensive linemen trying to get at me, trying to force me to make a certain decision. They're like offensive linemen trying to protect me and give me a clean pocket. Hopefully better offensive linemen than you are, Andy. But they're like an offensive lineman trying to give a really clean pocket to let the people they put in the position of authority make decisions. And I think that matters because I think to be really successful, you have to have that kind of alignment throughout the university. And so you look at that alignment on top of the incredible resources, incredible fan support, the facilities, the new facilities that are coming online, the conference we play in, where we live, a state of 21 million people that's one of the most fertile recruiting grounds in the country, we should have high expectations.
So I caught a stray there, which is fine. Better offensive lineman than me is a very low bar, but that is Scott Strickland speaking in code to potential coaching candidates going, this is not LSU. This is not Auburn. This is not Tennessee. You're not going to have a bunch of people in your business telling you what to do all the time. He's right about that. Now, there's a flip side to that, David, and that is there's a reason Florida only got an indoor facility a few years ago. There's a reason all of Florida's rivals have standalone football facilities and Florida doesn't. They're just building it right now. So it's a little bit of both, but what he's trying to do is say that it's more like the Oklahoma job where there is a lot of, you know, just continuous alignment and it makes it easier on the coach. I don't necessarily agree. It's not easy on the coach. The coach is expected, as we were talking about, to perform at a very, very high level, but you probably won't have some booster saying, I think you should switch to the triple option or whatever it is that a meddling booster would say.
Yeah, I think Florida's a tough place to answer that question, Andy. What are expectations for Florida? I mean, is Urban the baseline? Do you have to compete every single year to make people happy?
That's unrealistic.
Without using the Scott Strickland ADPR hat, what is fair? What are fair expectations for Florida that won't get
winning
you fired
or competing for the SEC
happy?
East? Competing for the SEC East regularly.
What is regularly? Every single year or 2 out of 3 years?
Every single year because you're going to have years like you're going to have years where Georgia's like this.
Yeah.
And you've got to accept that.
Just another class. Yeah.
Right. But you also can't be awful in those years. You have to be, you need to be better than almost everybody else in the East.
Don't get blasted by South Carolina.
Exactly. So it's like I said earlier, it's either you're winning championships or moving toward winning championships. So you're going to like, I said the Meyer era was probably a pretty high standard to set, but for example, 2007, they lost 4 games in 2007, but they had a Heisman Trophy winner. They had a super young defense, but they were starting a bunch of really young players who wound up becoming the core of the national title team in 2008. So that's what you've got to be doing. And recruiting is a big part of it. It's a huge part of it. And anybody who thinks that you can come into a powerhouse type SEC program and just put it on cruise control and the players will come to you, you are out of your mind. Yeah. You've got to go beat. This is the problem. And this is why LSU is open right now. This is why all of these jobs kind of turn over so much. If you are the coach at Florida, if you're the coach at Auburn, if you're the coach at LSU, you've got to beat Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. You got to beat some of those guys occasionally for recruits. The recruit has to pick you over them. And
I think you got to beat them frequently to be where you want to be.
Yes, correct. That's correct.
I mean, maybe half your class, you're going to have to beat one or multiple of those to be in the top 10. And I do think at Florida, you do have to be at least top 10 every year and top three, top five every now and then. There's no reason that you can't at Florida. There's zero reason why you can't.
Right. And
especially when Florida State and Miami are as down as they are. That I agree with. You can't be now. I mean, what are they right now? Seventh in the SEC for 22.
Oh, they're ninth in the SEC right now.
Ninth in the SEC, so 22nd overall, something like that.
Yeah, they're behind Missouri and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you know, we'll see who they hire, because if they could hire somebody who either flips some people or brings some people who were committed to them in the tight
window.
School.
It's tough in the top. I think that is a really short window. That is one thing I think that I'm not sure. I think people in the media that cover college football are catching on to this year. And I'm surprised, honestly, that it took this long, Andy. We're in year four of the recruiting cycle, of the change recruiting cycle, the early signing period.
The early signing period, yeah.
And this is the first time that
this
we're
this is year five, actually.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, 17. And this is the first year that we've seen teams pull the trigger a little bit earlier. And you know, Scott Strickland also mentioned that he said he was open to Dan Mullen coaching the final game, and Strickland said he woke up this morning and, you know, he felt like his decision. Okay, maybe. But if signing day was still February 2nd and not December or whatever 20th it is, he might have felt different this morning, Andy. Wouldn't you say?
But don't put that on the early signing period. Ron Zook got fired with four games to go in 2004.
Not necessarily, but it factors in, Andy. And we're seeing more midseason firings because of the early signing period this year. I totally believe that that's the case.
I don't. We're seeing the same number of midseason firings. We always see the difference. The difference this year is some schools held off last year because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
But
what about the hirings?
The number
though,
of people who want to make
hirings. We've seen Texas Tech.
Well, Joey McGuire. That's Joey McGuire so far is the exception that proves the rule.
Perhaps.
So until somebody else does it, and maybe somebody will, we'll see.
But I think you're going to see I think we're going to see some quick moves, Andy, because hiring your coach after the early signing period is really difficult, or hiring him a week before where it's December
14th. Oh, David, I'm going to tell you right now. If they had decided not to fire Dan Mullen right now, if they just said, we're going to wait and see what the Florida State game holds and what happens and then decide afterward, they still would have had to have been doing a coaching search. And I will be willing to bet if we find law, if we could get Scott Strickland's Zoom logs or who he's been talking to, I would bet that Florida's been looking at potential head coaches, maybe not reaching out, maybe not actually talking any dollars and cents or anything like that with agents or with go-betweens. But I would imagine that Florida's been looking at head coaches since after the South Carolina game.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I thought, quite honestly, Andy, I thought South Carolina night, I think we talked about this on the show, because I was at Cincinnati that week, and I said, I wouldn't rule out them doing something tonight, honestly.
It was bad.
That was one of those where you're just like, I can't believe I'm watching this. This is insane. But you know, we'll see. So if you're Florida, Andy, it begs the question, this is going to be a very interesting search because there's not the home run guy waiting out there.
You may not be the best job.
Sorry to disappoint the Bob Stoops people. LSU is a better job than Florida. USC, probably a different strokes for different folks.
Argue that either way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very different jobs. LSU is the one that, you know, is a real factor. But I think Florida, you know, is better. I think even, you know, depending on the coach, you know, TCU will be an interesting job, because there's something to be said for the case for TCU to be the best job in a conference that has playoff access. And that's going to be attractive to some people. But Florida's a really good job, but there's not that guy waiting there. What direction do you go here, Andy?
Well, you err on the side of recruits like his hair is on fire. I think if you're going to, and I hate to be the person
swing
who
of
says
the coach fire. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to be the person who says hire the opposite, but this is not hire a defensive guy because you fired an offensive guy. This is hire someone who understands the job. Like, if you are going to be the coach at, and I keep listing these schools, but this is just how it is, Texas A&M, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, you have to be the most aggressive recruiter on your staff or it yes. will not work.
Especially now that Florida's roster is lagging behind the teams that they want to beat.
Correct.
The recruiting has not been good enough, and the roster is not in – it's not in bad shape. Let's not overstep our bounds here.
No, but they should be able to beat
– they should be able to beat South Carolina and Missouri and all the games they've been losing this year. But they're not in the shape to go toe-to-toe with Georgia and Alabama and just say, well, you know, Vegas says this is a toss-up. They're not in that position. And that is why I think you do have to go opposite. I mean, we see it all the time, but I think you're right that recruiting, I might say that's the number one thing, Andy. I think I'm with you. I think that has to be the most important factor is has this guy proven wherever he is that he is like punching the ceiling repeatedly of how good that place can be in terms
of recruiting. Gets tricky, but now you can hire somebody who's been an assistant at the. It's hard to find, like, Texas A&M hiring Jimbo Fisher was sort of the perfect situation because you already knew he'd succeeded recruiting at that level as a head coach. You're not going to get most of the guys who have succeeded recruiting at that level as a head coach to come to you because they've got comparable jobs already. So that's the problem. So you got to project. And can you get somebody who has been at a lower Power 5 level or a Group of 5 level who punches the ceiling, as you said, or who's been an assistant at the level you want and has succeeded? So, like, two guys, I'll give you an example, who are head coaches now at different levels but have been assistants at the level you want and successful recruiters at the level you want. Mark Stoops at Kentucky. Billy Napier at Louisiana Lafayette. Obviously, they're at two very different levels now. You know, Mark Stoops is in the SEC. He's just not at a place that expects SEC titles. So if you put him at a place that expects SEC titles, will he recruit one level up? Now, he was the DC for Jimbo Fisher at Florida State when they built a team that won a national title. He had left for Kentucky by the time they won it.
And Kentucky's been killing it. Unorthodox strategy of going to Ohio, but they've been killing it.
Right.
In recruiting.
Right, exactly. So, but the thing is that strategy works in Kentucky geographically, probably doesn't work in Florida. But I would imagine for Florida or LSU that Mark Stoops is very interesting to you because you've seen him recruit at that level.
And I still think Miami and Florida State being down is a huge asset to Florida because they're almost non-factor. UCF is not even what they have been in recent years. You can walk in and be the best team in the state and easily sell everything else in the state immediately. You obviously still have to beat Alabama. You still have to beat Georgia. But the idea of, hey, you know, stay home, win, you know, those teams, it can be attractive to a lot of people. And I think that matters. I think, though, Andy, the main thing is I just don't know that there's a guy out there, and maybe they surprise us, but I don't know that there's a guy out there that gets you fired up that says, hey, this guy is going to win a national championship in the next 5 years. Is that guy out there? I'll tell you one
that would fire up the fan base just because they like people who play and win a certain way. Lane Kiffin would fire up the fan base. And we know Lane has recruited at that level. But I'm not sure Florida would go after Lane Kiffin. I'm not sure Scott Strickland would hire Lane Kiffin. I don't know.
Very different strokes for different folks, to say the least.
Yeah. I don't know that Lane would take the job. So that's a question that we won't know the answer to until somebody asks it. And I think we'll probably find out one way or the other if that question was asked. But that's one. Cristobal, I think he recruits that well. I don't know that he'd take the job. His Oregon roster is going to be pretty loaded the next 2 years. I'm not sure he's ready to leave right now. And you just saw last night, they got smoked in a game they absolutely had to have by a team that doesn't have the kind of talent they have. And while recruiting is the biggest piece of this, you got to coach him up too.
Can you be a first-time head coach at Florida and succeed, Andy?
Well, apparently you can at Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, and a lot of these other places that are doing pretty well. So why not?
All right. I think I'm asking the question. I'm not saying you can't. I think in some places.
No. I think you can. I think, and I actually think there's probably a higher. Here's the thing. Both of them can go horrifically wrong.
Yeah.
But I think there might be a higher probability of finding that guy, that magic guy that can do it all that you want.
I totally agree with you on this. Yes. Yeah. It's riskier, but to find the next, maybe not Saban, but maybe not even the next Kirby Smart, but the next guy that sort of is your guy.
Kirby Smart's the other example. That's the one I was forgetting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that can do that. You know, I don't know that that's, you know, the best example, but yeah, the guy that can be, this is our 10, 15 year guy until he goes 9-3 and we kick him out the door.
Right. Exactly. That guy. But yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because the other ones, you may already know their limitations. You know, maybe there's a group of five head coach. You know, Napier is one, although we've seen Napier at Alabama. We've seen Napier at Clemson. Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, who I don't know that he'd be in the mix for this job, but I imagine is in the mix for some Power Five jobs, is a kind of a more pure example of this, where he's succeeded at multiple levels, but it's Division II, yeah, FCS, and Group of Five. Does that translate up? And you won't know until he gets there.
I think the two things with Chadwell is, one, he does have that magnetism, for better or worse, mm-hmm, and he has a, yep, system. If people in the NFL and colleges are coming to Conway, South Carolina to steal concepts from your offense, you're doing something right. That offense tortures linebackers. And if Jamie Chadwell is not a coach at the, you know, at a higher level than Coastal next year, I'll be shocked. Somebody's got to come after.
I think he's probably getting a Power Five job. Maybe it's an American job, but I would think he gets a Power, mm-hmm, Five job. But with Florida, I don't know. I don't know the answer. It really will take some imagination. I give you another name, and I've said this for years and years, because I saw him at the college level and I saw him as a recruiter before he went to the NFL. But I think Dan Quinn, if he wanted to recruit, which I don't know if he does, but if he wanted to recruit, would make a really good college football head coach.
Interesting. I haven't interacted with him, so I'd have to lean on your.
He's one of those people that just connects with everybody, kind of like Sam Pittman at Arkansas.
My question is, does the Falcons thing, does that hurt your landing at whatever college place that you go, where fans are just like, this guy, fair
he
or not,
to the Super Bowl, for God's sake.
I know, Andy, listen, I know. The Bills got to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, and those teams are not.
I would hire Marv Levy. Marv Levy's right now, a good football coach.
That's what I'm saying. Like, fair or not, in fans' eyes, you got to the Super Bowl. That doesn't matter as much as 28-3. Fair or not. I wonder if that would be.
Well, Nick Saban didn't have the greatest record in the NFL either.
But he didn't get to the Super Bowl, Andy, and lose a 4-touchdown lead.
He didn't even get to the Super Bowl. That's the whole point.
He was smart enough to know, I need to keep expectations low so that I can get out of here and I won't have Miami fans beating my door down when I leave, in the middle of the night to go to Alabama. Well, Andy, it's going to be an interesting time in Florida. We'll see kind of how this all shakes out. It's going to be I'm intrigued. I mean, like I said, I think this is going to be one of the most interesting coaching carousels in a long time, because for the first time in, I don't know, a while, it seems like the number of big time jobs really outpace the number of big time candidates. And there's going to be a lot of underwhelmed fan bases by the end of this. I think there's not going to be as much chest beating, as much as eyebrow raising. This is said and done.
Think about this, David, because I don't know if he's looking to move at this point or if the schools that are open are looking to take him. But I think a month or so ago, if James Franklin had been the candidate at USC or LSU or Florida, everyone's like, all right, sounds about right. But now I think if any of those three hired him, you might have trouble selling him because of what happened at Penn State this year.
Yeah. This goes back to my original point, Andy, that just, you know, recency bias, just, I think it's a disease in college football. I really do. I get it. I understand it. But I've talked to enough boosters and enough people that influence these decisions to know they're not always the most level-headed people, Andy. I don't know if you've had the same experiences. And so, you know, trusting them to guide the decision-making, I don't know. I don't know about that.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Andy, there are other places in the SEC besides Florida. We should talk about
yes, where the jobs aren't open.
The jobs are not open. We Alabama Georgia game that we want next week. Georgia will pray for Georgia Tech this week. If you can spare a moment for them, the Iron Bowl. We don't get the you know Bo Nix possible chaos. I think that one is going to be a not an interesting ball game, I think, Andy. Am I wrong for glossing over the Iron Bowl?
No, I think Auburn losing to South Carolina does sort of take the shine off the Iron Bowl a little bit. I think the beautiful, beautiful fake field goal touchdown from Arkansas will be Alabama's last real challenge before the Crimson Tide play Georgia in Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the SEC title.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm just glad we're getting that game because we've talked about it all year. You know, fair or unfair, we've assumed it's coming and it is coming. We're going to get that game. College football deserves that game. It's a playoff game in early December. That might be a playoff game at some point
again, you
know, on the back half again, very easily. We'll see how things shake out. But I'm just glad we're getting it because, you know, for one, it's just good football. Those are two really good teams. But I said this at the start of the season early in the year, and Andy, it just doesn't seem right for Georgia to get to the playoff and try to climb and get their ultimate goal of trying to win a national championship without having to go through Alabama at some point. I feel like just for the sake of existing, they've got to get that monkey off their back. And I'm glad they're going to get that shot, so we'll see.
I think you're right, and I'm interested in the dynamics of playing Alabama with the pressure off. Like mm-hmm. Georgia doesn't have to win that game.
They don't.
As long as they beat Georgia Tech, which if you watch Notre Dame, Georgia Tech on Saturday, Georgia's going to be okay in that game.
38-0 at half, something like that. And I'm not even a huge Notre Dame believer, but man, that was ugly. It'll be interesting to see what you know how they coach and how they play that game because there is a catharsis to winning that game.
I think they're gonna you take away the nerves, what if I screw up? I can't screw up. That's gone. And you just say, go beat the snot out of them, make this go away forever. And it's funny because it's not forever. I mean, you probably
doesn't matter
see them again
if you
next
have to beat them twice, Andy. Does it matter if you empty the chamber against them once and you see them again a month later and
you're not gonna see them again if you beat them. Unless it's nine overtimes and Alabama loses on a very controversial call that was wrong and should have won. Like they're not getting in the playoff if they lose this game for the
Andy, you should know better than to doubt the committee's love of Alabama and their willingness to put Alabama in the field if given the opportunity.
I feel like we should make an Ari and me style bet on this game.
Like, well, there's a lot of other factors, Andy. There's teams that have to lose. My point is that if there is an undefeated Cincinnati and there's some one-loss teams, they're not going to get in over a one-loss Big 12 champion. They're not going to get in over an undefeated Cincinnati. They're not going to get in over Ohio State. But everyone else,
or Michigan, if Michigan wins,
Yeah, one loss Michigan Big Ten title. Yes, they're not getting in over them. But are you willing to bet that there's only four teams with one loss or more, or one loss or fewer at the end? Because if there's not, Alabama's getting in, Andy.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky.
It's not even about Alabama. It's one loss Notre Dame.
Or one loss Notre Dame versus two loss Bama. Like that would be.
I think Bama gets in over a one loss Notre Dame. I really do.
I think so too. Ari thinks so. And we talked about that on the podcast after the games.
And especially if one of those losses is to Georgia, Andy, you couldn't blame them. I would actually advocate for that. I think they should get in over a one loss Notre Dame.
But I really, the more I watch, I think the winner of Bedlam's probably going to wind up being a one loss Big 12 champ. And then
maybe
Cincinnati. They got to beat East Carolina, which they should do. The Houston game is going to be tough. Let's be honest. The Houston has played great since they lost the season opener, which, by the way, they controlled the season opener against Texas Tech for three quarters and then just played one bad quarter. And they've won ever since then. So Cincy could just lose, and then that would be a different story. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But we've got that game. Can we talk about the most exciting game of the season?
Let's.
The Egg Bowl.
I got to go to the bathroom first, Andy, before we... I need to empty my bladder.
Is there a goalpost around?
I can do it during the segment, if that feels fitting. I feel like it does. I can just whip out a cup or something and just...
A red Solo cup? Post.
Sure, why not? Let's do it. But this game... You know, the idea of the late season Thanksgiving night clash, the Kiffin-Leach combo, this game is already unhinged. Andy, most underrated rivalry in the SEC in terms of pure hate, the
Egg Bowl. No. It is the most spiteful, hateful rivalry in, I don't want to say all of sports, because I don't know about all of the English soccer rivalries. I don't know about all of the Indian cricket rivalries. But I will tell you that it is the most spiteful, most hateful rivalry in American sports. I don't think there's a debate.
I like that because I think a lot of my experience, Andy, is in the Big 12 country. And the Texas OU rivalry, they hate each other. But at the end of the day, they know if I say you suck, they don't really mean it. They don't really mean it, Andy. They respect each other. I get
these people don't respect one.
There's no respect to this rivalry, and it is fantastic.
The only two people that respect one another are Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach, who actually like each other a lot.
Yeah,
but Steve Robertson, who covers Mississippi State, he put it best because there was a story. So, you know, Steve Robertson, by the way, the one who went through Hugh Freeze's phone records and found the phone calls. So this is what we're talking about here, but. He was talking to Mark Schlabaugh for a story about just how spiteful this was, how much this rivalry caused all that with Hugh Freeze. And the way Steve put it is probably the best description of the Mississippi State Ole Miss rivalry. And it is, he said, it's like two runt puppies fighting over the hind teeth. That is basically this rivalry in a nutshell. And it is, because it's never for the SEC West title. It's never for huge stakes. Though this year, there are some stakes. Like, if Ole Miss wins this game, Ole Miss scores Sugar Bowl. If
Ole Miss loses, sometimes everyone gets fired.
Yeah. Everyone. Not just the losing team, but the winning team, too.
Sometimes somebody lifts their leg and everyone gets fired.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I'm so excited because Ole Miss's defense is playing so much better. Mississippi State is just better across the board and has gotten better all season. Matt Corral, I still think, is the best quarterback in the country. Will Rogers has gotten so comfortable in that offense at Mississippi State. It's Thanksgiving night. I know there's an NFL game on opposite. I don't care. I'm watching the Egg Bowl.
Like, I will also be watching
Somebody Egg Bowl. Might try to pee like a dog, and it might affect the outcome of the game. Yes. Come on. There's nothing better than that.
It's beautiful. Andy, if you can, I have a soapbox here. If I can step on it for a brief moment.
The floor is yours.
So Saturday night, Andy, if you listened or watched any coverage of the sport at large, we got to hear a lot of talk about, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young are the two Heisman Trophy front runners, Andy. They're the two best players in the country. Andy, these guys are not the two best players on their own teams.
Correct.
And we're about to hand these guys the Heisman Trophy. Can we ask for a more cultured, a more attentive Heisman voting block?
Electorate?
Please. Electorate. Yes. Please. It is brutal.
Yes,
listen,
thank you.
Listen, CJ Stroud is an incredible player. Bryce Young, really good player. Bryce Young is not why Alabama is knocking on the door of the playoff as the SEC West champion. He is not the reason why. And
number
I think
number 31.
Will Anderson. Jordan Davis,
N'Kobe
Dean. I can bet you that I'll have at least one, probably two defensive players on my ballot. And they're going to probably cannibalize votes from one another. I hope at least one of them gets to go to New York City. But Andy, I am so sick of this becoming, well, who's the quarterback that has good numbers on the top five playoff bound team? And that's the guy that I'm putting. Like, again, I like CJ Stroud. I like Bryce Young. They're really, really good players. They're not the best players in the country. They're not the best players on their own team. I don't know what we have to do to get the 800, 900 voters to stop doing that. It's the most outstanding player.
We can't because most of them watch the ball and don't watch the entire game. But here's how you try. You said it yourself. You've already said it. Ask yourself, if you're about to vote for Bryce Young, number one on your ballot, remember, this is the most outstanding player in the country. You cannot be the most outstanding player in the country if you're not the most outstanding player in Tuscaloosa County.
Yes.
The most outstanding player in Tuscaloosa County is Will Anderson.
I totally agree.
The most outstanding player in Franklin County, Ohio, which is where Columbus is. You're impressed I knew that, right?
That is good.
Is Chris Olave. If you would like to vote for an Ohio State player who you think is the best, the answer is Chris Olave.
Yes.
Like, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Especially last year after receiver one, I don't know how you can watch Ohio State and not be like, oh my gosh, Olave is unbelievable. I get how people don't watch Alabama enough and really watch what Will Anderson does. But it's unfortunate because this was a really good year for a defensive player to get into New York or even maybe win it. But I think there's so many good defensive candidates. I think that they're going to cannibalize votes for one another. Fair enough.
I think you're probably and the Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean one is a prime example. Mm-hmm. And there is it's almost like a quarterback and a receiver kind of siphoning off from each other. Because like, was Mac Jones great because of Devontae Smith, or was Devontae Smith great because of Mac Jones? I think the answer is probably a little bit of both. But is N'Kobe Dean great because Jordan Davis is eating up blocks in front of him? Or is Jordan Davis great because even when he doesn't make a play, N'Kobe Dean's there to clean it up?
And I think Jordan Davis is really interesting to me because I understand the argument that he's on the field for less than half the defensive snaps, but the numbers when he is on the field, again, the award is for the most outstanding
everything.
Player.
He changes
most outstanding
every, he
player.
Changes
not,
your entire game plan. Yes. He changes your entire if he moves 2 feet, you have to change how you're going to block the play.
Yes. And so I understand that if people want to say, I can't do that, I can't vote for a guy who's on the field the snaps, okay. But just don't put Stroud or Young on there instead, because that's insane. I'm resigned to it, Andy, because I know how voters are and I know that people don't pay attention to it, but I can't sit idly by and just sort of shrug this off because it's going to be frustrating. And I've agreed with a lot of that.
I'm glad you said it.
Because I agree. I think Matt Corral is a better player than both those guys. Matt Corral is the reason why Ole Miss is having an incredible season. They've had so many injuries. He's banged up, and he's still carrying them. CJ Stroud is not why Ohio State is wrecking people. He's really good, and he's helped them. Bryce Young is not why Alabama is wrecking people. Matt Corral is why that's happening in Ole Miss. And so if I'm voting a quarterback, I'm putting him on there. But again, it's hard because defensive players don't have the same acute impact on the team and their unit's fortunes as a quarterback does. But you can make the case that Jordan Davis, when he's on the field, does for the reasons that you said. Yeah. You listen to Kirby
and you can also make the case that the entire week Jordan Davis is impacting the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you. So if you're a Heisman voter and you're listening to this, please pay attention. Look around. I feel like I'm shouting into the void, Andy, but I had to do it. I had to do it. Meanwhile,
I'm so glad, David, you're doing a public service. Be proud. This is you're doing the Lord's work.
2 weeks ago, Andy, I really thought Josh Heupel was going to walk away with the SEC Coach of the Year. And Andy, a new candidate has risen from the ashes and has inserted himself into the argument. Mr. South Carolina, Shane Beamer. Andy, a month ago, they had two first downs going into the fourth quarter against Texas A&M.
15 total yards.
15 total yards. One of those first downs was via penalty on their first drive was a four-play drive that they punted on. And now, Andy, South Carolina is going to a bowl game. Incredible. 11
and maybe has a chance teams. Against Clemson. I don't know. Clemson's been playing really well, but can you even imagine?
Here's the thing, Andy. If they win, we'll shrug. And that alone is something. We're not going to be like, how did that happen? I can't believe they beat Clemson. Like, we'll be like, yeah, all right. Like, Clemson couldn't score against South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Jason Brown threw three touchdowns and they won 24-17. Like, we'll be like, yeah, all right. Like, that's about right. So I think that, you know, I think the best case against him is the Heupel Beamer head-to-head. But there's a third person that we should talk about, Andy. And I think it comes down to how you view this award, which I believe mm-hmm. I said 2 weeks ago is the star we thought your team was going to suck award. But
yeah,
nobody, Andy, nobody thought Georgia was going to be this dominant. This dominant.
No.
Where no one's going to touch them all season.
If you give it to Kirby Smart, it's not necessarily an award just for this season. It's an award for all the recruiting he's done over the past few years to build it to this level. But I do think there needs to be, like, Nick Saban needs to win the Coach of the Year award every once in a while because he's the best coach.
And Urban Meyer never won the Big Ten's award.
Exactly. You know, all he did was win the Big Ten every year.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
It really is. Those awards tend to go to the coaches whose teams were supposed to stink. So, like, Mel Tucker probably wins it in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. even though Ryan Day's had some difficult decisions to make. Like, he had demoted his defensive coordinator this year. Jim Harbaugh took a pay cut and has wound up, you know, being really good. So in the SEC, you did have these two that have completely outperformed expectations. And look, I don't know what would have been more unbelievable to me 3 months ago, David, if you'd have told me that Josh Heupel is going to make Tennessee fun and they're going to go 7-5 and be one of the hottest teams in the league by the mm-hmm. end of the season, or that Shane Beamer would get South Carolina to a bowl game. I think I'd be more shocked about Shane Beamer getting South Carolina
especially how they were looking in the middle of the season. They're a completely different team, Andy, and I – you know, you could say, well, why wasn't Jason Brown playing earlier? You can say all those things that you want, whatever. But they're a different team. They look really bad in the middle of the season. The A&M game, the Tennessee game, they looked really bad. And they don't look bad right now. Especially if you give it to Auburn.
I still think you have to give it to Heupel because the circumstances were so much tougher.
Probably. That's probably who I would. I don't think I vote for this, actually, but I think that's who I would vote for. That's who I would vote for. It would be Heupel. But I think people want to shrug off Smart too easily, perhaps. Ultimately, we need to tip our cap to Shane Beamer because a fantastic job. This season, getting them to a bowl game, and that program looks like they're having fun. I think everyone always knew. I mean, it was one of the big reasons why he was hired, is that you knew he was going to be able to connect with that locker room, and you saw some of the scenes and the scenes on the field and the locker room after the game. I would say that mission has been accomplished, and now it's about amassing talent and building on that, which is hard to do at South Carolina. But props for a very, very good for Shane Beamer and Kirby Smart, who is not in year one, but might exercise some demons here in a little bit, I would say. So, Andy, are you going to the SEC championship game?
TBD, David. Okay. I don't know.
I am going. We'll have at least three people. Well,
probably not. If you're going to be there, and we've got obviously Seth Emerson and Aaron Suttles. I mean,
yes.
What do we need me for?
Pile on. You can't write too much about these two teams.
They're well, I have to go to – here's the thing, David. Maybe I have a little slight ulterior motive here. I have to go to Las Vegas the following week.
Ah, yes.
Because a lot of coaches, ADs, movers and shakers will be there. I've never spent a college football Saturday in Las Vegas. Championship Saturday sounds like a kind of fun day to do that.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, that's going to be a, quite an episode of Football and Grits, Andy. we shall see. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Football and Grits. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for checking us out. It's always good. Good to be back in the saddle. Of course, if you are not subscribed, Andy, I think they should. I don't know if you feel the same way. I think they should 100%. Subscribe to the Andy Stables and Friends.
As the kids say, smash the like button. Do we have a like button? I think we have a like button.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
Smash a 5-star review. Do that.
All those smash things. That. Just do a lot of smashing buttons and eventually
don't we'll get pass this show. Smash.
Exactly. We'll get this this show delivered directly to your device. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for checking us out. And we will see you again next week. So for Andy Staples, I am David Ubbin. See you guys again very, very soon. Thank you.